about a little after 2 p.m.
Smoke.
And we're talking with Smokey Stover here at his home in Kodiak, Alaska.
Okay, Smokey, two things that we thought we might talk about. One would be World War II, and I know you were involved at the invasion at Attu. And then also I know you were here in Kodiak after the war with the Road Commission, is that right? Was it the Road Commission then they called it, or State
Highways? Well, it was Alaska Road Commission.
Yeah.
We called it the ARC, which means awful rough construction.
that was before statehood then. Then when it was stated, it became the territory. State Highway Commission.
Yeah. We were territory, yeah.
Yeah. Now, did you retire from the State Highway Commission? Was that
Oh, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
The state took over.
Right, right.
And by that time, we were run by three different government agencies, you know. Not only the U.S. government, but the state and the territory.
Mm-hmm.
And also the borough wanted to get in the act.
Yeah.
So I just give up.
Yeah.
You can't work under three or four different government agencies.
No.
I didn't mind it when we were just under the territory.
Yeah.
Which wasn't bad. That's one government agency.
Yeah.
And I had charge of Kodiak, McKinley Park, and another little area in the Takakna Ophir area, which is out in the interior. As a matter of fact, that's where I go gold mining.
Yeah.
Is in that area.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. So I just kind of got tired of government.
Yeah.
You know, everybody does. I'm sure that you will.
You betcha. Well, Smokey, let's go back to the beginning and talk a little bit about, just for biographical information, where were you born? Who were your parents? That sort of thing.
Well, I was born in Kirkland, Washington.
Uh-huh. Right across from Seattle.
Well, close.
On the lake. Yeah.
We used to have to take a ferry there. Now you can drive. It's a nice area.
Oh, yes.
Washington. It reminds me a lot of Kodiak, really. There isn't too much difference. It rains a lot.
You bet.
But it's a nice area.
And who were your parents' names?
Well, my dad and mother. My mother was from Maine, and my dad was from Iowa.
Yeah.
But the Stover name is, well, really, it's pretty well known because Ike Eisenhower married Mamie Stover, who was my
aunt.
Right.
Really? Your aunt?
And a lot of people don't know this. I shouldn't mention it. But it's not an unknown name.
No.
In this country, and being in the war myself, at one time I mentioned to my first sergeant after I went out to have two after being drafted and put on a ship, you know, we went across the ocean to that too on the invasion out there, and my sergeant didn't like me too well because I never done anything the way the Army done it. And I told him, I said, well, I hate to say it, but my uncle is a general in the army, and you're just a first sergeant. I said, I've been a PFC 3 times, a corporal twice, and you're just a sergeant. He said, I'll check up on that, which he did. Finally come to me and said, Smokey Stover, I just found out that your uncle is Eisenhower. I said, well, that's great. Go right ahead and put that down in your records. He said, well, we were thinking of making you a sergeant. You're the only one that knows how to run equipment here. And we're building another airfield. And we still have to build some more roads on the island of Attu. I said, well, I'll help with it. Which I did. And so from then on, I got along good with Sergeant Crenshaw.
Crenshaw?
His name was Crenshaw.
Yeah. But I know you were. You said you were drafted in Alaska. How did you get to Alaska from Kirkland? Whatever drew you up to Alaska.
Well, I put in for a job with the AJ Mine.
Mm-hmm. Alaska.
Alaska Juneau Gold Mining Company, and well, as a matter of fact, I needed. I wasn't 18 yet,
mm-hmm.
and I needed. I had to get a letter from my parents. I asked my dad, would he give me a note saying I'm 18?
Mm-hmm.
In them days, he didn't carry around identification and birth certificates and whatnot. They didn't even have credit cards. And so I asked, my dad, and he said, no, I'm not going to lie for you. So you're only 17.
Now, what year would that have been?
About 1939, huh. I think.
Uh-huh.
And I said, so I went to my mother. I said, Mom, I want to go to Alaska. They got jobs open up there. And so Mom says, well, you're really 9 months older than you think you are. So I'll give you a note saying that you're 18.
Uh-huh.
So she wrote me a note, and I took it down to the employment office on 2nd Avenue in Seattle.
Yeah.
And got an okay to go to work for the AJ Mine in Juneau.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where I more or less, that's where I grew up.
In Juneau,
And that's where they drafted me when I got to be 19.
Now, you worked on equipment. In Juneau, you ran heavy equipment?
No, I worked in the AJ mine.
In the mine itself, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't work on equipment until I got drafted.
Yeah.
And the Army Engineers was stationed outside of Juneau, out near Off Bay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I lived there. I owned a home there, even. Mm-hmm. I even bought a home while I was working in the mine. Yeah.
Now, there wouldn't have been many people driving from Alaska, were there? From Juneau?
You had to be a certain age. Mm-hmm. And they dropped the draft age down to 19.
Mm-hmm.
And they got me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they got me in the Army.
What year did you go, were you drafted, do you recall?
Well, it would have been 41.
41. Now that was...
Or first part of 42.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Now was that after the Japanese had attacked Dutch Harbor?
And, oh, yeah.
And they were already occupied after...
They started the war.
Yeah, right. So what happened then when you were drafted? You went into the service right there in Juneau for a while?
Yeah, yeah. There was an army or a military base just outside of Juneau
mm-hmm.
at Duck Creek.
How'd you get then from Juneau out to the invasion at Attu?
Well, a military boat, came through and they took me out of the induction center there. We had an induction center at Montana Creek. I remember I went in with a bunch of other inductees that were from the Pribilof Islands. They were natives, little guys. They were only about less than full 5 foot tall, I think most of them. And we went out, we went in the service together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a funny thing, but I can remember because they issued us military clothing, and the boots they issued us were like blucher boots, they called them. And these little natives, we were in the middle of the winter. This was in January of 42. And it had snowed and it was a cold winter. And we were out doing military exercises, you know. When they said about face, why these little native kids say, they turned around but their boots didn't. Yeah, I can remember this because they were so little and their feet so small.
Yeah, and only issue, only had a few sizes.
Number 12 boots.
Yeah.
I was about the only one that went to that too on the invasion that wore civilian clothes. I still
civilian clothes. Oh,
yeah, okay. I still wore my hat and my good shoes. I had very little trouble out at that too. Whereas the others, they had to sleep in pup tents, you know, with their shoes from U.S. issue, you know, they were all leather. A lot of them got trench foot, Well, they just couldn't live in a wet country like it was out there, cold and wet.
Now most of the troops had trained in California and came on a troop ship, and you just joined that troop ship then, is that right?
Yeah, right. I was put in with that bunch of engineers.
Yeah.
These were combat engineers.
Right.
Yeah, the 42nd and the 50th engineer group.
So did you go right from
Juneau
to the invasion?
Right to there. We went by here, by Kodiak.
Sure.
But we didn't. They wouldn't let us off the ship.
Mm-hmm.
I never seen Kodiak until after the war.
Yeah.
But we went right by here. Yeah.
So I understand most of the guys thought they were going to the... to Africa or someplace, didn't they? And they are South Africa.
We knew we were headed for.
You knew that when you were here, yeah.
Kiska are at too.
Right, right.
Because that's where the Japanese were.
Sure.
At that time. And, when we finally got there, the Navy had already shelled the island
mm-hmm.
with big shells. But all they did was shell it and make a bunch of foxholes for the Japanese city.
Yeah.
They didn't kill any Jap. We did. I think we shot something like 2,200.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I know we buried, we lost 800 of our own,
mm-hmm.
Our own American citizens. You know,
yeah.
It was one of those things where I think probably we might have lost a third of what they lost. That's because that's all there was there.
Yeah.
We saved 18 Japs.
And that was it. That's all the survivors.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that for a fact. Because we counted them.
Yeah.
That was left.
Yeah.
And they killed about 100 or 200 of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of like Harry Carey.
Sure.
You know,
I understand the those who were in the hospital were killed, the Japanese, by the... their fellow Japanese rather than being taken prisoner?
Well, no. They formed a circle and killed themselves.
Yeah.
I remember this. Up on Engineer Hill, they killed themselves with hand grenades. They formed a circle and killed themselves with these hand grenades.
Yeah. Engineer Hill, that was one of the
well
tense moments, I guess, because the Japanese almost made it
that's
through.
That's where we stopped them.
Were you there?
They went through the army.
Right.
Killed a bunch of army personnel, people, and we stopped them at Engineer Hill.
Well, that's one of the most famous battles of Attu that the Japanese.
Killed. Yeah, that was the last of it.
That was it.
They seen they couldn't get by us. We all had submachine guns.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, I carried a Thompson sub myself. Didn't even know how to shoot it hardly. Yeah.
You were supposed to be an engineer, but you wound up as a combat soldier, huh?
Oh, yeah. We were combat engineers.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. We built two airfields out there. And 64 miles of road.
On Attu.
Yeah. On an 11-mile long island, if you can imagine, you know. It isn't easy to build 64 miles of road, although we do have it here. Yeah.
Now, the Japanese had started building by hand the runway out there.
Yeah, they had.
Yeah.
They had. You can still see, or we could, where they were digging by hand up the ground out there to build an airfield.
Mm-hmm.
Out at, that was out at, across the island from where we landed.
Which that's a good point. Which beach did you land on personally?
Well, we landed on
there's Holts Bay and Massacre Bay.
We landed in West Massacre Bay.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Gee, that's a long time ago.
Oh,
I almost forgot it, but
sure.
That's where we landed
mm-hmm.
by landing barge.
And did you bring equipment with you then
at
that time? Or,
I run a bulldozer with an AT trailer towing ammunition
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to General Buckner was there.
Yeah.
He was the general in charge.
Right.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I wanted to go to the South Pacific. Most of my outfit moved in from there to the South Pacific.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wanted to go with them, but they wouldn't let me go because I was from Alaska.
Now they went probably to Okinawa, the invasion of Okinawa.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Well, one of the islands. Yeah. They wouldn't let me go because they said, oh, you're an Alaskan, and we can't let you go to the South Pacific.
Yeah.
Besides that, you're married.
Yeah. Oh, you were married at the time, something like
No, I wasn't.
Ah.
They thought I was. As a matter of fact, that's what kept me from going to the South Pacific.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to. Yeah, one of those things where, my God, it sure pays to be married.
So, did you spend all your Army time right there then on Attu?
Yeah, 29 months.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was so glad to get away from Attu. I was really glad to leave, tell you.
Well, I can imagine. It's a pretty tough place, huh?
Oh, no trees there. Attu is probably the worst place that a person could possibly want to live.
Yeah.
Yeah, Attu. I used to develop pictures there. Even I had German photography developing outfit for the other soldiers, of course. Not for myself, but I used to develop pictures there. And I think probably about the most desolate place in Alaska is that too. I might say that it's an island with all this and that too.
yeah. All this and that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, when you actually mustered out of the Army, you left that too and went back to what, Juneau or?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
No, I went. They shipped me back to Seattle.
Oh, to Seattle. Yeah.
I visited with my parents. A very, very short visit, and came back to Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no work in Juneau then. The AJ mine, Alaska Juneau gold mine, had closed down.
That's right, that was really the end of it, wasn't it? Yeah.
And there wasn't any work there, so I think it was Tom Stiles that came through Juneau looking for help.
Now, I've heard that
Kodiak
name. Yeah.
Well, he was with the Navy up here,
mm-hmm.
Public Works, mm-hmm. and he was looking for equipment operators. So I went and asked him, I said, hey, I'd like to get a job running equipment because I know how to run a grader and a bulldozer and a shovel and drag line. Oh, that's just what we want. Somebody like you. And I said, fine. I said, okay, well, you just put in for, sign this application for a job, and we'll see that you get the Kodiak.
Uh-huh.
So I did. At that time, you had to come out here by boat. they didn't have airplanes like they got now. You
Alaska Steam? Is that?
I think it was, could have been Alaska Steam. I believe it was. Uh-huh. Yeah, the Baranov, uh-huh. I think. What they called Baranov. It took me from Juneau to stop the sewer and then to Kodiak. Yeah.
So, pretty much from then until now, you mostly lived in Kodiak, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I worked on the naval base, mm-hmm. as an equipment operator. Finished through the winter, and the next spring, a friend of mine put my name in for the job of city superintendent, and believe it or not, they accepted it, and I didn't even know about it.
Is that right?
Until he come. As a matter of fact, the job only paid $400 a month, and I was making over that working for the Navy.
Now, would that be like Public Works Department is now? Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. Pretty much a job that Herman then had eventually as a director of.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Herman Beekers worked for me.
Is that right? Yeah.
No, he didn't. I call it Herman Beekers never did work for me. Uh-huh. I used to work with his dad in the AJ mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew him real well. Yeah, he worked in June in the AJ mine too. There's a lot of people that worked in the AJ mine in Alaska and still live here.
Mm-hmm.
They're old-time Alaskans.
Mm-hmm.
You might say they're pioneers of Alaska.
That's right.
Yeah, and Herman, his dad, Jan, his name is Jan Beekers. He worked in the AJ mine. I didn't know him well, but I did know him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What was Kodiak like when you first got, when did you first get to Kodiak? The year would be about 44, you think?
About that, yeah.
Yeah.
It was after the war.
Yeah.
So it would have been 44, 45.
Mm-hmm.
And, dirt streets and beer bottles and cans on both sides of the street. I almost got stuck one time in the middle of the road. Evidently it still turned to mud. Rain.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
So by the time you saw Kodiak, there was a pretty good sized population with the military here, and
well, it was all military.
Yeah, yeah.
There was very little other population other than the military came in every night.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of military, Navy. It was all Navy and a little Army, because Fort Greely was still made up of a lot of Army there.
That was a big base, and I've only seen photographs of it. But there's not much left of the Fort Greely, is there, if anything?
No. We built the I built the Little League ball field here back in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time we had a lot of interest in baseball, believe it or not.
Now that's a Coon Field, what they call Coon Field?
Well, yeah. Coon Field, the reason we called it that was Merrill Coon. He was a mayor here about that.
Right, right.
Merrill Coon. And his little boy, he'd taken him out to where Fort Abercrombie is now. And the little kid fell off the bluff out there and was killed. So we named a field after him.
Yeah, yeah.
I was scoutmaster then. He was in my Boy Scout troop. Mm. That's kind of unfortunate. But
oh, yeah.
I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the Boy Scout.
Oh, yeah.
Naturally, yeah.
Yeah.
I never did get to be an Eagle Scout, but I made two Eagle Scouts here.
Yeah, yeah.
Two of my troops.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, Thorsheim was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They became Eagle Scouts. And that's why we have the Boy Scout area, what we call it, at Island Lake.
Right, right.
Yeah. I had that set aside, 15 acres there for Boy Scouts.
When you were with the Road Commission?
Is that, yeah, I was with the Road Commission then.
Yeah.
But we I had it set aside.
When you were with the Alaska Road Commission, just for the use of the Boy Scouts?
I was scoutmaster.
Yeah.
With the Elks Club.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a charter member of the local Elks.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I knew Bob Bartlett, who was our representative in Congress.
Yeah, for a long time.
And Juno. I had known him
Before he was in Congress and when you were working.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
See, he's the one that got the executive order from the Army set aside.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason we have all this area that was withdrawn from by the Army before the war or during the war.
On Kodiak, you're talking
about. On Kodiak.
Yeah.
We had it withdrawn and given back to the territory.
Wow.
So, and in that executive order was the Boy Scout area.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the borough was going to take that away from us at one time and put into lots and sold. And I told them they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Which they couldn't, because we got it at the same time by the executive order, and they can't.
Yeah.
There's no way you can take that property away from the youth activity.
So it's isolated only for that types of projects.
Youth activity area. So I hate to say it.
Tell them to keep your hands off, huh?
Yeah. So they had to.
Yeah.
They found out it was right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I told them, well, you better check with the government, because when they withdraw a piece of land for a certain purpose, that's it.
That's it. You can't change it. Yeah.
No, you can't either.
Wow.
But I'll say one thing for our representative in Congress at the time, he's a hell of a nice person.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd do anything you ask him for a youth activity.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely not. He was there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought, Smokey, I'd ask you about a particular individual, just to get your reaction to him. That's Charlie Madsen. You must have known Charlie.
Oh, I knew them all.
Yeah, yeah.
You better believe it.
He sounds like he was sort of a real character, wasn't he?
Well, he was an outdoorsman.
Yeah.
You know, and
the reason I ask is that, you know, Rita, my wife, is Charlie's granddaughter. And Thelma's her mother, Thelma and Ole.
That's right.
And so I've been working for a long time on a little book on Charlie, and so I thought I'd just get your thoughts on Charlie. He sure did a lot of things in his life, and particularly I'm interested in his time when he was in Nome up there, when he was at the...
I don't know when he was in Nome, but I heard that he was.
Yeah.
See, I go to McGrath every year to the gold mine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't go this year because I got other things I have to do. But... Charlie Madsen, he had a bear hunting camp, and probably was as well known in Kodiak as anybody that I know of.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think Charlie Madsen probably pretty well known throughout the country.
Oh, yeah. Interesting, interesting man.
Yeah, in them days they didn't have a lot of bear hunters going, but he was a bear guy.
Yeah.
Made his living at it some way or another.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but he probably did.
So, and I know you get over to Onion Bay occasionally too. You've got some property there. Cabin there. Yeah.
I have the first Gillnet site that was there. The one I bought it from, or bought out his broken down cabin there, was Pete Dumas. I didn't know. Well, he was a gill netter out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I still have some of his old fashioned gear.
Is that right?
I may have.
Yeah.
But, I don't remember now who told me about. I knew him. He and Stuart Knuckles were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew Stuart Knuckles here in town. And he said that Pete Dumas had maybe died or something. He hadn't heard from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived at Onion Bay. So I went out. At that time I had to go by boat. And I went out, and sure enough, he's dead. He'd been dead for at least a week. So we brought his body in. And Walt Muller was the undertaker here then. And Walt put him in a casket, you know. So I think this was in January or February. Anyway, Stan Nelson and I got together and contacted his sister, lived up at Mount Vernon in Washington, I think, or somewhere in there, and so I told her sister by telephone that I would bury Pete, and that's when I found out his name wasn't Pete Dumas. It was Egbert Enfelt. They called him Pete Dumas because he had the Dumas, a boat called the Dumas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody called him Pete Dumas.
What year was that, Smokey, when you bought the...
48,
yeah.
I guess, yeah. Or 9.
Yeah.
And anyway, I took him out and buried, I told her I'd take him out and bury him there at Onion Bay.
Mm-hmm.
That's how come I get to know Onion Bay so
yeah.
well, because
yeah.
I contacted a friend of mine who had the Cape Douglas here.
Is that Darla?
Darla Dayton.
Dayton. Oh, yeah, yeah. Darla Dayton, yeah.
Yeah, he had the landing barge.
Yeah, yeah.
So I asked him if he would take me and Pete Dumas out to Onion Bay. I'd bury him.
Yeah.
I'd need a backhoe. So we did. We took a backhoe out there, dug a nice grave for him, dug up a big rock at the same time. It's still there.
Yeah.
He's still buried right there
yeah.
in the bay,
yeah.
overlooking the bay.
Is there?
Yeah. Yeah, I get a kick out of it because since then I spent a lot of time out there.
Oh, I know, yeah.
I put in for it. As a matter of fact, I got the state to open up the land there so I could buy. I bought 2 5-acre tracts there, you see,
mm-hmm.
from the state at a very high price. I think it was $1,500 for
yeah.
a tract of land there. It's about like I did up in the interior a few years ago. I bought a 3-acre tract of land, and that cost me $1,400. you it's tough to think about prices and whatnot. But if a person pays too much for a piece of land, like you'd have to do in Kodiak now,
oh yes,
you can't afford to build them.
No, that's
you've
right.
done spend all your money.
That's right.
So you have to borrow it.
Yeah. Smokey, I've never known how you got your nickname Smokey. Now that was your nickname when you were in the service too. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Well, I got my nickname by the name of Stover.
Oh, sure, the cartoon.
The cartoon. That
yeah.
was an old cartoon.
That's
way
right.
back in the 30s. I
sure.
used to get in fight with kids in school, my own age, because they'd call me Smokey.
Yeah.
Well, and I'd beat them up. You can't imagine how many kids I beat up because they called me Smokey.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's it came from that old cartoon.
That's Smokey right. Well, Smokey. I forgot. I remember that when I was a kid. That,
yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're that old.
Oh, yeah.
You must be pretty old.
That's right.
Remember that cartoon called Smokey Stover, the fireman.
That's right.
Yeah, he was a fireman running around on a two-wheeled cart sometime. And,
one of these Pearl... Pye Holman told me was that he was on the volunteer fire department here, and he said at first they only had a little cart, they didn't even have a truck, and
mm-hmm.
he said they'd haul that cart around and try and put fires out. He said, you know, once a fire started, we couldn't do anything, it always burned to the ground.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, do you the cart?
Yeah, that was, I was the one that was in charge. In 46, I was city superintendent. I was in charge of the fire
department. The fire department was under you, yeah.
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 So was the police department and everything else.
Is that right? The police
yeah.
department too, yeah.
Yeah. I hired a chief of police one time from Billund.
Yeah?
And the chief of police, I didn't know what he put in for a job in Kodiak, this guy. And that was kind of funny because I didn't know it, but they wanted to get rid of him And he was really in jail there. And he put in for the chief of police's job here, and they done it as a kind of a joke, I guess, or something, but I didn't know it.
Yeah.
So I hired him.
Right out of jail, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right in jail. He was in jail. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I hired him and sent him transportation money to Kodiak. And he came down here.
Now, there was a city council at the time then.
You
were probably hired by the city council, is that? Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a city council.
And a mayor, and yeah.
I was at that time city superintendent. You can't imagine the things that transpired government-wise in those days.
Really?
I can't imagine now. How easy it was to run the city of Kodiak.
Yeah.
It was very easy, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody trusted you. They didn't need any ordinances or regulations.
Yeah,
really.
They
got by very nicely without them.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got so many ordinances and regulations, you gotta have somebody to run.
That's right. Do you remember who was mayor or who was on the city council at the time?
I think Bettinger.
Bettinger, right. Was Mrs. Kraft on it then? I know Edna was at one time was on it.
Yeah.
Carl had, Pyonen had probably left by that time. I think he was living in Seattle.
He had something to do with something, but I don't remember what.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jimmy Martz, I know, was on it.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Nelson.
Oh, Stan, he's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, always have been, or always will be, a good friend of mine.
Oh, yes.
He's dead, of course, now, but, I'm trying to think of who else was on the council, but I don't remember them all. But, let's see.
Well, let's see. So, I think we've covered almost everything, the war years and the early time here in Kodiak.
Gee, it's a nice day today.
Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. Just beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. I did want to make sure I had, just for the record, your birthday, so we'd know.
February 19th, 1922.
And we talked about how you got to Alaska, and let's see. I think we've touched on everything, so.
Yeah.